When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Tumultuous year for quote-unquote terrestrial radio, and everyone wants to say what radio is and isn't, and I would say this. Audio's on fire right now. Audio is on fire, and you could basically, like, yeah, are we on the radio? Of course we're on the radio. Like, yeah, no duh. And I still listen to everybody on the radio. We're also on YouTube. We're also on podcasts. If you don't know, wherever you find podcasts, you can find The Morning Roast. We're everywhere. We're on the Odyssey app. We are a multimedia platform. We have a TV channel, basically, that I call YouTube. We have a podcast form, which is exactly what it is, a podcast, which is the audio downloadable version of our particular show. And you can listen to us live. So we're everything you want to be. We're on fire right now. And we want to say thank you to our audience, because without you, we aren't a show.
Go Say Valkyries, well said there. Go Say Valkyries unveiled their jerseys, expansion draft tomorrow, 3:30. On the white jersey, it says, Go to Say Valkyries, Nike Heroin Edition. What's the Nike Heroin Edition? That's what it says. Like, look, am I seeing things? I know it's early, but am I seeing stuff?
Don't talk about that.
I think, isn't heroin like it's like the female term for hero?
Oh, it could be.
Okay. I don't think it's that kind of heroin.
Yeah, no, I know that. I was asking what is it?
Yeah, a woman admired or idealized for her courage, like outstanding that. Achievement, or noble qualities.
I had no idea. I like that a lot. Wow. Did Molly go blonde on first take? Holy smokes. Anyway, 925, Bonte is asking more generous, providing breakfast for the roasters. John Fisher sitting in on billions of dollars. Love the Doobies. Franchise. That is the franchise. All right. Let's, what's going on?
Draymond
that segment,
and Steph. Hold
on, real quick, that segment is sponsored by Go to St. Liver. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStLover.com. I'm sure Go to St. loves spending money on that segment. Woo-wee! What a hard hitter. Go ahead.
Steph and Draymond are out for tonight's game.
Time for the legal.
Yeah, there you are.
You're now listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ on FM 1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station.
Always live on a free Odyssey app. KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco. You know, he just named how we're all in the most.
On the spot, off memory, pretty good.
That's
not bad.
That's not bad.
Church.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
About the Golden Legal.
Carter knows what I'm talking about. Carter, you're Catholic, correct?
Of course.
Yeah, so you
are
know.
Are you Catholic?
Yeah.
CYO, baby.
Yeah, exactly. You know when Father's up there and he's doing the homily or the gospel or anything, I start, you know, doing the same thing.
You've been going to church your whole life?
Absolutely.
Man.
Got a lot of sinning I had to repent for.
So many guys who go to church. I do. I'm not going to name names. I'm going to go 3-1 on Shasky here, but I knew a... this preacher, his son, we used to party all the time. I'm like, dude, your dad's, it's a reverend, dude. Like, and you're out here getting high and what do these things? Like, what the hell is going on here? That's why.
The preacher's son?
Yeah.
It's a song.
So go ahead.
Steph and Draymond are out tonight.
Yeah.
Where does that leave the Warriors, Bonte? Like, this is the 5-game slide?
They've lost 5 games in a row.
Okay. You got a back-to-back. You got no Steph. You got no Draymond. They got to get going here. They got to find a win. I mean, any one of these big losses where they've had a sizable lead at any point in the game just feels, I mean, looking back on it, it sucks. It sucks. They need to stop the bleeding, and I think they could be in for a big trouble here. What do they have to do tonight to stop the bleeding?
Well, I think we'll get there in a second because Houston's tough, and without Steph and Dre, I think that's the most important thing. And I think that was a big takeaway Tuesday night for me, was like the long-term view of this roster was that Steph is banged up already with knee soreness in both knees, and Draymond has his left calf soreness. They're the two best players. That's tough. So I think it all starts with the update and what's going on with their injury. So I think we should start there before we even think about the Houston Rockets. What they need to do, get some buckets, score on crunch time, play connected, and just try to get a win at all costs. How do you do that? By playing good team basketball. But without Steph and the gravity there, how does it change things? You know, because a lot of people I heard yesterday, Pods needs fewer minutes. Well, Steph and Dre's not playing tonight. So guess what? Pod's going to play more minutes. You have no choice.
Well, yeah, the silver lining could be that maybe he could find something. You know, maybe he can find himself a little in these games.
No doubt. Well, here's the update on Draymond Green's status for tonight and moving forward.
Yeah, he's doing well. He had the MRI today. We don't have the results yet. But all in all, I talked to him yesterday. He said he's feeling pretty good. We'll have more tomorrow. My gut is that this is not going to be, a super long-term issue, but we'll have to see what our training staff says tomorrow.
All right, Will and the Dibs, of course, with Steve Kerr every single week. How do you manage Steph and Dre's injuries?
Exactly how we're doing it. You know, both guys are around 30 minutes or less per game. We think that will pay off over the long haul. You know, both guys have, I think yesterday was the first game Draymond has missed, but Steph's missed about four games, out of the first 20, with various injuries and, being banged up. And so if you just look at it from a big picture standpoint, hopefully at the end of the year, both guys will not have been overworked, and they'll be ready to go for the playoffs. So that's the plan.
That's the plan.
I mean, you got to get to the playoffs too, though.
Yeah, no, that's what everybody's.
I mean, like there's like
in the Western Conference. So you think about where the Warriors were just a week ago, 2 weeks ago. They're top dogs in the Western Conference. Now you look at where the Warriors are at right now, as we're 20 games into the season. They are now, they bumped back up to six last night due to the Lakers' loss and due to some losses, the Clippers' loss as well. So they're sixth place in the Western Conference, tied with the Phoenix Suns, tied for fifth place. So as we look at the standings here, they've lost five in a row. Can you get back on track? Can you just, I'm looking at the month of December, Shasky. Can you just weather the storm in December? Can you just get to can you get to 2025 in that top six? With some healthy guys in Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. That, to me, is the most important thing. Can you just go 500 for the month of December when you look at the schedule? Okay, you got Minnesota three times. You got the Rockets twice. You got the Lakers. You got the Clippers. You got the Cavaliers. You got the Indiana Pacers, who are trying to find their way in Indiana right now. They're 9-14 at 10th place, but they're going to turn things around and go on some spurt. That's how the NBA season works. So can you just go 500? So getting a win tonight, yeah, you want to stop the bleeding. No doubt about it. I think there's some positives, though, because I get how emotional yesterday was for everybody, including myself, and I was angry. I'm not angry, but it's just like, damn, got to get a win. But there's some positives, Shasky. Didn't it seem like Kuminga had a very solid game?
Absolutely.
No turnovers, didn't settle for the three-point shot. Up until that bad sequence for Pods, how would you rate his game?
It was much better than the weeks leading up to that game.
Absolutely. It was one of his better games of the season. Moses Moody's spurt. How about the hustle on the steal? We didn't even talk about it. He comes, Steph turns it over. Moody hustles, gets the steal, drops a great pass. We saw some positives there. Looney rebounding. Saw some positives. So can you build off of that from Tuesday night against a top dog in the Denver Nuggets to another good team in the Houston Rockets? That's what we need to see tonight. And I think the win and loss result, that'll come. hopefully you win the game, because this. But we need these young guys to take that leap now.
I need Buddy Hield to play better. I'm looking at Buddy Hield, and there's a direct correlation to, you know, him playing well and the Warriors, the rest of the team really playing well. He's not the end-all, be-all, but they need his punch off the bench dramatically, and I feel like, you know, the league has become so predicated on how many threes you hit and how well you shoot from beyond the arc that having one of the better three-point shooters in a slump has not helped them.
No, it's not.
During this period. Like the other night was a great example. You brought it up. I brought it up. You might have brought it up again. Nobody else called in talking about Buddy just smoked a wide-open three.
No, I did. I brought it up. Remember, they were up to, somebody else hit us up. Burke in the Creek and somebody on Instagram hit us.
He's got to hit that shot.
They would have gone up 10.
I know. And that's not the only reason, but it's just like, that's what he's out there for. You know, he's out there for his three-point shooting and his prolific three-point shooting. So they got to find a way to get Buddy Hield going here, and they got to continue to build off of the Kuminga thing. You know, I know this isn't a conversation necessarily for right now, but this is something I'm monitoring all year. You know, if you take it at face value that Kuminga wanted more than $30 million a year, like,
I don't know
who's paying him that right now. Well, I mean, I know there's always a sucker out there in the NBA, there's always somebody who's going to pay you a lot of money, but I'm monitoring that situation, and I'm just like, man, the trade deadline's February 6th. How much does that factor into the trade? Does that weigh him down? Does that weigh him up? They got to do something here. We're like 2 months out because today's December 5th. I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot going on right now. The Warriors need a win in the worst way for the psyche.
The Kuminga stuff we'll be monitoring all year. I mean, whether it's the deadline, whether it's the end of the season, that will play itself out. I don't bog down too much in terms of who's going to be traded or what's going to happen at the trade deadline, because it's going to play out right in front of us. We're going to get a clear idea on who will want Kuminga, if Kuminga's going to be here, if the Warriors want to, if he could take that leap. Because he is athletic. You see him against the Denver Nuggets, man. He's like, damn, he's blowing by dudes. Mm-hmm. He's getting to the rim. He has that ability, the mid-range jumper, where he told somebody in the post-game presser, we didn't even play his post-game sound. Somebody asked about his mid-range jumper. He goes, I've been doing that since my second year. And I've been talking about that since the second year, and everybody ignores it. Like, he's got that little 10-foot fadeaway. He had a nice little bank shot from 10 to 14 feet out. So, I'm not mad, but you brought up Buddy Hield because I don't want to move off of him just quite yet. The splits are alarming when it comes to Buddy Hield. In the 12 wins, 24 minutes, 50% shooting from the floor, 48.5 from three, 19 points a game. In the 8 losses, 21.5 minutes, 9 points, 34.5% from the three-point line, 35% shooting. It's simple. He shoots well, the Warriors win. That's the way it's looking right here. That's the way it's looking, the splits and how it's playing out. He's so important. And now, without Steph and Dre, you need him to drop at least 20.
One thing this team desperately needs is a guy who can get their own shot with 5 minutes to go in a game when things bog down. And I know Kuminga can score. I think the next step for him, if he really wants to cement who he is and who he believes himself to be as one of these kind of guys, like 5 minutes to go, can you lead this team to some wins here with both the top dogs out and be one of the primary scoring options, creating either for yourself or for others? That's tough. Not a lot of guys can do that in the league, period. No, you know, God. For example, we talked a lot about Bradley Beal. I don't really know if Bradley Beal can do that consistently as a winner late in games by himself. You know, and the guy's making a ton of money. But that's what this team right now, the Warriors, desperately need. The other guy I'm looking at is Andrew Wiggins. He cannot go 7 shots in a game moving forward.
Get 7 shots. This is like Moody when he went 6 or 7 and only got 1 field goal attempt against the Brooklyn Nets in the second half. That can't happen when he's going scorching hot, when he's scorching hot there. 5-0, are Sacramento Kings fans allowed to win an award? I'll let you know on the other side, brought to you by Safeway. Love to start to piss me off.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
Will Turtle Pie be in the building down at Laughing Monk Brewery in Sunnyvale for the Morning Roast Doobie Awards, where we award the best moments from the show and honor you, the roasters? Can we give people a snippet of what? Nah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. But December 20th, you may want to take that day off. We'll have a lot of fun there. It'll be kind of our holiday party with the roasters down in Sunnyvale. We're going to do it. Third Annual Doobie Awards. Again, you want to RSVP right now at 957thegame.com. RSVP right now at 957thegame.com. Now, somebody on Comcast Business Text, I said this. I want to know this, if it is true. They said they RSVP'd, and the alert they got back was, hey, we look forward to you joining us on April 30th at 10:30 a.m. Said that was the response he got, so we'll check on that. Maybe he's joking.
They'll talk to some people about that.
Yeah, what's our girl? What's our young lady?
Oh, Kalia.
Kalia, yeah, who basically works like 3 days a week. Good for her. Stealing money from the company. Ain't mad at people who steal checks from the company. Third annual Doobie Awards. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to feed you. Again, it's like a party. It's like we're hosting a party. But it is an award show.
Bonte, heading into this year, after the offseason that the Warriors had, where they were linked to teams and they didn't make any deals, and then you're thinking maybe they get an extension done with Jonathan Kuminga, and then you head into this year and they don't get an extension done, and they got him originally playing the three, right, to start off with, and I know that, like, at times it's very positionless. I'm looking at this stretch right now with Draymond Green out. I need Kuminga to start rolling here. You know, I'm looking at it just his numbers, and we're very early into the season. I'm not here to say that this is some, like, sweeping indication of who he is.
By the way, that Zucci man saying that's a true text. The response they're getting is, can't wait for you to join us April 30th at 10:30 a.m.
We're gonna have to fix that. We're going to have to fix that.
Did it say, like, where to go at April 30th?
It said April 30th, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm just looking at the Kuminga numbers, the raw numbers. Again, it's early. It's early. Minutes are a little down, you know. Points are a little down. Turnovers are slightly down. But his effective shooting is down. His free throws are down. The three-point shooting is down. He needs to get rolling here. And I wonder how much of that is kind of the, you know, early season, trying to play him at the three versus playing him at the four, playing him with certain combinations and feeling out some of your lineups. How much of that just might just be just a natural slump or a slow start to the season? But they've got to get him going. And I want to see him get that total, at least the points total, up closer to 20, you know, as he takes on a larger role. I'd like to see his minutes go up a little, because I think with more minutes, then all of the usage numbers will fall in the line in terms of effectiveness. But I really do believe that right now is a big, key, seminal moment for Jonathan Kuminga for this season.
Well, for his Warriors tenure, right? It feels like we're going to know if he's going to be a member of the Golden State Warriors long term after the stretch. Could be. I have no idea, man, because it seems, you know, he wants to start. Steve Kerr mentioned it at a presser. You know, we know he wants to start. He started five games this year, and he's got to start against Denver alongside Kevon Looney and Andrew Wiggins, which I haven't thought about in just a second after hearing from Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs yesterday right here on 95.7 The Game. J.K. probably is a four right now in terms of offensive basketball. Offensively, you want him diving to the rim. You want him putting pressure on the rim. I love his mid-range game. I think the guy's mid-range game is can be really, really good. I don't like when he settles for the three. He only took two threes the other night against Denver. Great. Hit one of them. Great. Getting to the free throw line, his free throw shooting has to get better. You know, when it comes to free throw shooting, we've kind of lost the sauce on that one, as they're the worst team in the league of free throw shooting. Jonathan Kuminga, 59% for the free throw line.
You can't be a guy that attacks the rim and shoot that low.
That will impact the way you attack the rim. And all of a sudden, you shine away from the free throw line. You're saying, no, I don't want that. I don't want that at all. So, but another question, Willard and Dibbs, I thought it was very interesting. They asked him a question about Kuminga and Wiggins functioning together on the floor at the same time. Can they play together? Well, here's what Steve Kerr said about that.
Well,
Well, it depends on who they're with, and that's, you know, that's part of the challenge of this year's team so far is we got a lot of moving parts, and obviously we've been playing so many people that we've got plenty of data on a lot of different lineups. But I think at this point we have a pretty good feel for, you know, who we want to play together and who we want to you know, avoid putting together and that kind of stuff. But Yeah, it's that's all part of coaching, and especially this team. You know, some teams that I've coached, it's pretty obvious and automatic, kind of who we're gonna play and when. This one, I'll bet if you looked at the last 10 games, we might have a different closing lineup every single game. So we're still you know, kind of searching for you know, everything that we're trying to get to feel the most comfortable about our group. We're not there yet.
So he said it depends who they're with. Who are they with? Are they next to Looney? Are they next to Draymond? Are they next to TJD? Are they next to Moody?
GP2.
Pods.
Buddy.
Who are they with? Buddy Hield's a good one. I actually would be intrigued to see Wiggins, Buddy, and Kuminga together, because you do have two very good defenders. And, you know, Coach Vallejo called yesterday.
I'm 100% with that.
And Coach Vallejo yesterday was like, well, you know, Wiggins and Kuminga, if you got pods out there, they have to guard the opponents. They got to do that every single night. They have to guard the Dame Willards. They have to guard the Donovan Mitchells. They have to guard the SGAs. They have to do that every single night on this basketball team. That is their roles. So can they play together? I thought they played together well last season. But as Steve Kerr said, what else is around them? Around Andrew Wiggins and Kuminga, ideally, for me, in my opinion, you want some shooters. So I would love to see Buddy Hield alongside them. Can Pods pay point guard there? Can you get another shooter who could space the floor alongside Wiggins and Kuminga? Now, on the flip side, the other night, I'm going to be very interested tonight if Wiggins does play. Kuminga and Wiggins, I mean, Wiggins only took 7 shots. You mentioned it before the break. Was that a byproduct of Kuminga having more volume for himself? Was that just a product of the offense that night? I don't have the answer to that question, but it's something I will monitor moving forward as long as Kuminga is starting next to Andrew Wiggins.
Well, they were denying Steph late in the game. I'm just going late in the game. And Kuminga got the kind of the shot blocked by Jokic where he tried to attack the hoop. And I forget what led up to it, but Wiggins had the ball and just fell.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't get a shot off there. So I'm assuming he's trying to either make a play for himself or make a play for others. I really go back to this. Like,
he's questionable, by the way. Andrew Wiggins, questionable tonight.
With what?
Right ankle. Right ankle. Impingement.
Oh, my gosh. Is there anybody healthy?
You got some minutes with you?
I mean,
you got
no.
out there and give him some minutes?
No.
You sure?
So, like, okay. It's like I'm listening to you about the Pods thing. Like, I get what you're saying in terms of those two have to guard perimeter guys no matter what.
No matter what.
But I think what Coach's point was yesterday, and I don't want to get too caught in the weeds on this, but like when it's Steph and Pods out there simultaneously, you know, those are two poor defenders who people pick on and attack.
No doubt.
The same can be said for other guys on the roster. It's just those two, that combination is a defensive deficient combination.
There's pros and cons, though, right? Because if you go to that lineup, and the con is, yes, defensively, you're going to take a hit. But offensively, if Pods is having the ball, I'm not saying he's Draymond Green, but you got somebody who can't facilitate in the half court. Now, whether or not you think he's a good facilitator, that's your own opinion. But offensively, you want Curry playing off the ball. You don't want him having that usage rate with the ball in his hands, unless you're running some pick and rolls late in game, and you can run the two-man game with Jonathan Kuminga, which you saw at times. Curry dropped 11 assists the other night, and it was a great play, great clip from the other night where Kuminga sets a screen for Steph. The gravity of Steph and Curry draws the double team. Kuminga dives to the basket, easy two-hand flush. Also, a couple other assists where Steph Curry was drawn to double teams there. So I get why Pods would start, but I understand where Coach was coming from. But no matter what, don't get it twisted. Wiggins and Kuminga are guarding the top dogs no matter what. And right now, without De'Anthony Melton, you don't have many choices. Well, are you going to play? I don't know what Pat Spencer is right now. Is he a three-point shooter? Can he handle the ball? I don't know if he's ready for an elevated role. Is it Lindy Waters III? He was completely out of the rotation the other night.
He had his chance, and I think it's kind of come and pass for the time being.
So there you go.
Doesn't it?
There you go.
I just I mean, this is a big moment, I think, for Kuminga. I really do. I keep coming back to him because he's probably the most desired trade piece that they have on their team. He's also the guy that I think intrigues Warrior fans the most outside of the top dogs on the team. You know, I think we're kind of getting a feel for who TJD is. Like, yeah. TJD is a really fine player off the bench.
Or spot
starter,
yeah.
You know, okay. Right. I kind of feel the same way about Pods currently. That can change. Kuminga's a guy that, like, all right, I can envision him as an impact starter. But he's got to go out and play like an impact starter over multiple weeks. And I just, with the contract, with the trade deadline, I think there's just a lot brewing here. And I think this is an opportunity for him to show himself, like, I can be that secondary guy that you're looking for to close out games. And I think the important thing is, hey, JK, we know you could score in the meat of the game. Can you score down the stretch when teams are really keen on you?
No,
it's
doubt.
Hard.
No doubt. It is hard. But that's a lot to ask for a young guy, right? And I get it. He's been here for 4 years. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, come save us. Well, you got Stephen Curry right there. I just think they need to run. If you ran a little more sets down the stretch, and I don't know if Willard it is, asked him about that. About maybe running more just like simplistic sets. Hey, we're going to do this. I want you down on the elbow right now. We're going to get you the ball in this spot, in this situation, instead of ready to react. Because in crunch time, things do speed up. They're pressurized situations, right? So for a guy like Kuminga, it's like, oh, man, I got to. He hasn't had many opportunities in that situation to carry the load down the stretch, and now we're asking him to do that.
But this team's looking for a number two option.
Well, I think Wiggins is that number two option. Here's the deal. Here's the deal, what's going on. You know, everybody keeps saying, well, they need a number two scorer, number two scorer. I hear you on that. I hear you. But I'm looking at Andrew Wiggins right now. He's giving you 17. He's giving you 4. Are we looking for 20? Are we looking for 25? Kuminga's down at 14. I don't think you're getting 25 from Kuminga. The bigger issue is, and you can't say anything about it. Everybody's scared to say it. You're scared to say the loud pout, the loud part out loud. Stephen Curry's down to 22.5 points per game.
Well, okay, that begs the question.
So if he's at 25, 26, we're looking at Andrew Wiggins as a second scorer, scored 17-18. I'm thinking, ooh, we got a second scorer. But Curry's down to 22.5 points per game. And so as he takes a little dip in points per game production, who else is going to step up with the points per game production to take that leap? And Kuminga hasn't done it yet. Melton's out for the year. Pods is trying to find his shot. So as we keep saying secondary scorer, I actually think in Leroy's on.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The line, he just hung up, but he was talking about a big man. I think he needed another big, and you just need a playmaker, a guy who could create for others and hit a wide open three. Like Tyus Jones would have been perfect for the Warriors the way he's playing down in Phoenix. I underrated him, but a guy like that coming off the bench who can play at a fast tempo.
Isn't that what you want Pods to be?
You do. But Tyus Jones has been in this league for like 8 years, whereas he's a second year pro to do this.
Oh, I know, but this is, I'm just saying what the team was trying to accomplish. I mean, right. I don't know, like your point about Steph, like I think we're, you're talking about the quiet part out loud, like we're getting at the same thing here. Like, yeah, the team's going to have to alter how they play. You know how Kyle Shanahan's like a run first guy, mm-hmm. and as their personnel is kind of dictated with all the injuries and everything, you might have to throw the ball a little. Like, you know, Juwan Jennings is a really good play when you had Debo and Jennings and Ayuk and Kittle. It's like, hey, maybe we should go to more 3 wide receiver sets. Where I'm coming at now is like, I know we want to play Steph off the ball predominantly, but maybe it predominantly becomes half the time he's off the ball, half the time he's on the ball, just to make things better. Well, and then he plays a more traditional point guard, and you could play a Buddy Hield alongside of him. You could play Jonathan Kuminga in the pick and roll. Andrew Wiggins in pick and rolls.
But as much as we talk about Pods' defense, have you seen Buddy Hield's defense?
Oh, it's not good. Shooting is so much better. I'm trying to shore up the offense. For me, the bigger issue for me is offensively, right? When I trust, and even though the numbers don't back this up, but when I trust GP2 from long range more than Pods, like, that's a problem. It's a problem for a guy who's handling the ball that much.
I don't think anybody's trusting GP2 more than Pods from the 3-point line.
I know it's an absurd sentence to say, but that's how I feel.
But he's shooting 17% from three. Nobody's trusting GP2 right now from the 3-point line. You know, other teams are telling you who they want to shoot the three late in the games. And they're leaving GP2 open for a reason. And I love GP2. If he can get that corner three down, damn. And he had a really good game, too, Monday night. Tuesday night against the Denver Nuggets. But he's shooting 17% from three. So I don't feel good about a lot of the guys right now shooting the 3-ball on this basketball team. They're just not hitting shots. I do have faith that Pods will kind of turn the corner here when it comes to his 3-point shooting. I really do.
Why do you say that?
Last year he shot 38.5%. Now I get it. He's shooting more volume this year. I don't think he's a 20% 3-point shooter. Those numbers will go up. Can you get to 33%? Can you get to 34%? I do think he's got a hot streak in him to where he'll get those numbers up. But look, man, without Steph, without Dre, this is a flawed roster. And when your best player is 36 years old and he's dealing with bilateral knee soreness and his production's down, we're scared to admit it. We keep screaming, Steph needs a second score. Shoot, you got Wiggins scored 17 a game. Maybe you need a third score. Because I think you got your second score. Wiggins is doing just fine. Just fine. But Steph had, we weren't, after coming off the Olympics, we're like, wow, Steph Curry's baller. He's going to average 27, 28 a game. When you go down to 22, now, it's for right now. I do believe Steph Curry could get those numbers up to 24, 25. And he didn't play in a few fourth quarters to start the season. So the numbers were down and he missed a few games. We're talking about a guy last year, Shasky, who averaged 26 a game. That's a 4-point drop-off. It doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a massive, massive drop-off.
How many games have they lost by 2-3 buckets?
Exactly.
So, no, it's a huge deal.
So that's that. To me, we've ignored that. We've ignored that as we're waiting for the season to play out, And look at the shots, too. Steph Curry's only averaging 16 field goal attempts a game.
It's the fewest since before his MVP season.
Well, it's the fewest since, I'm looking right
11,
here.
11, 12?
Since 17, 18, where he averaged 17 shots a game. Ooh, he's at 16-4.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, he's down in those field goal attempts. So, with Steph Curry down, yeah, I think it's, you would like Wiggins to be at 20-21, but 17, I think everybody would have taken 17 from Andrew Wiggins this year.
Well, heading into the year, yeah, no doubt. But again, like, he is making $25 million, and then the other guy who wants $35 million, conceivably, is Jonathan Kuminga. It's like, you can't be a 13-point-a-game guy asking for that kind of money, you know? Like, so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the guy's got to step up. The guys that want a bigger load need to go out there and prove it, and they need to play better, and they need to execute down the stretch.
Yeah, Curry needs a little help, man, and he's not going to play tonight due to bilateral knee soreness. And Andrew Wiggins is questionable. Boy, can you imagine them playing the Rockets style? Wiggins, Steph, and Draymond Green.
It's not good.
So, that's why you got to look for positives.
When did he hurt the ankle?
I don't know. These things happen, right? I don't know when Draymond initially hurt the calf. They just tend to happen. Now,
insert cynic NBA fan. Like, they're all hurt all the time. It's just, gosh.
Well, you just said it, too.
No, this was, it was the joke.
You look serious, though.
Well, I mean, it like, hey, look, man. Like, if Draymond's out and Steph's out, like, yeah, I would like Wiggins to find a way to suck it up and play. I mean, if you can't, you can. I get that, but come on, could really use you. Like, we need to stop the bleeding here, guys. We don't.
It's 20 games. It's long term play, right?
If you don't think things are in a precarious position, I don't know what to tell you.
Who does? They've lost five in a row. You heard how cranky I was yesterday. The Western Conference is deep, and I've binocular Bronte's looked at the schedule, but it is what it is, man. It's, you know, pivot, don't panic, right? Now, I do want to play this cut about Pods, because we talked a lot about Pods, and here's his follow-up to his post-game comments on Brandon Podziemski. There was a lot going on with Brandon Podziemski yesterday on 95.7 The Game. Here's his follow-up to his post-game comments as he joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, everything I said has already been said to Brandon. The reason I said it to the media is there's a little, you know, it puts a little pressure on him. And I never say anything that I don't think about first. So that didn't just come, you know, out of anger for the loss. That came because he needs to get the message. And the message is a really important one because he's such a good player. He's such an important player for us. But he's a typical young player, second year, a guy who's, you know, trying to forge his identity and figure out who he is. All young players go through this. And it's not an easy process because you have to make some mistakes to recognize, you know, who you are, what you can do, what you're capable of, and also what your team needs from you. And so we just need Brandon to speed up the process because, you know, you guys were talking about it. We've got Steph and Draymond who are Hall of Famers and still playing at a really high level, but they're older, and we're trying to fit this thing together now and have a great season. So we need Brandon to take that next step, and I'm confident that he will.
So he wants to put pressure on him, and I'm not mad at that. He needs Brandon Podziemski. This team needs Brandon Podziemski. I know a lot of people don't think highly of Brandon Podziemski right now, but I thought he was balling on Tuesday night against the Denver Nuggets, and then he had that tough stretch, and he doesn't play the last 5 minutes of the game. It is what it is, but you need his ball handling and what he does to connect it. Last year, everybody was high on this guy. Everybody was like, had Podziemski fever. Everybody. First team all rookie team. He's connecting the offense. He's getting that ball out of there, playing .5 basketball. Now, if he can hit a couple shots, damn, here we go. Let's go. But the guy has put a lot of pressure on himself because the guy wants it more. So it's not for a lack of effort. Look, he's got to get better, and he's got to leave the referees alone. That's my biggest issue right now. Not the shot itself, but just the referees. Every call, you don't need to go have a conversation with them. I don't know where he picked that up from, but he'll clean that up. I believe it, and that's what Steve Kerr had to say. Now, here's what Steve Kerr had to say about how he – I want to get your thoughts on both of these cuts, Shasky, how he handles players in the media.
Just get to know them and get a feel for their personalities and, you know, what's the best way to address each guy, and is it just privately and never say anything to the media? I always approach guys privately first, every once in a while, I think it's using the media as a way to get the message out there and make it a real issue can be a positive thing for some players. That's my gut here. I think it's really going to help Brandon in this case.
Yesterday, I mentioned how there was a deeper meaning to what Steve Kerr said Tuesday night. He knows that Brandon can handle that type of criticism in the media. He knows his players. He knows his personalities. We were just talking about this yesterday. You coach a different guy. You know you're going to hug a guy. Another guy you're going to berate because you know he can handle it. Well, some guys need loving. Some guys need tough love. That's where Steve Kerr's at with Brandon Fajinski, because I don't know, as we talk about Jonathan Kuminga, I don't know if he could do that at the podium with Kuminga right now. I don't. I don't know if he could do that with the Moses Moody. I think Moses Moody could handle it better than many other players in this league. He knows Brandon can handle it. I'm not sure how Kuminga would handle that.
Well, forget the young guys. I mean, I just look at how they've treated Draymond Green publicly versus how he talked about Klay Thompson last year pretty vocally. I do feel like there at times he's handled Draymond in a way that is confusing to me, and I'm sure a lot of Warrior fans. And then there's other times where it makes sense. Like, it makes sense that he would, you know, employ the less is more, because you're dealing with dynamite sometimes when it comes to Draymond Green. No, there's no doubt. And I think at the end of the day, like, they really need Pajemski to start playing better. They really need Jonathan Kuminga to start playing better, right? They need all these guys. Look at how they handled Andrew Wiggins the last 3 years. I don't ever remember the coach coming down on Andrew hard at any point. Do you?
He's different personality.
Exactly. And also, he was dealing with different things, right? It wasn't just on-court performance or absence or anything like that. Like, there was personal stuff. So, no, look, this is the psychology of Steve Kerr, and this is where playing for Lute Olson, playing for Phil Jackson, and playing for various types of personality coaches, you understand how to connect to people. I mean, famously in The Last Dance, Phil Jackson understood how to connect with people better than anyone.
Yep.
And he knew that there was a way to talk to Rodman, there was a way to talk to Pippen, there was a way to talk to Paxson, there was a way to talk to Steve Kerr and Michael Jordan, and you couldn't coach them all exactly the same.
No doubt. And that's what Kerr's doing right here with Pods. And he just told you that. So when I really thought about it, and we were doing a show yesterday, I was like, you know what? He knows Brandon can handle it. He knows he's tough. He knows he's going to try to bounce back. He's going to be all right. He's going to be all right. Just less pressure, 20 games in. Now, he did talk about the sophomore slump, the whole sophomore slump. Where is that cut at? Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about that on Willard and Dibbs.
Brandon had a really good rookie year, came into his second year, and he's thinking, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And he's just lost a little focus on what actually wins. And, you know, for example, the fouling, the 2 3-point shooters, we can't do that. We've talked about this from day one of camp. Fouling jump shooters it leads to losses. It really does. I mean, you can see that stat in the league. You can feel it. Not just the free points. It's having to take the ball out of the net. It's getting to the bonus earlier. So, you know, I think Brandon's trying too hard. I mentioned that in the press conference too. He's trying so hard to make a great play every time. And you can't do that. You can't play that way. So maybe he's just trying to justify everything from last year or Joe's comments or whatever. I don't know, but it's all part of it. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I just want him to understand that we've got to speed up this process of growth as it relates to what wins games and what we need from him. And that's part of what's happening right now.
You know what? Against Houston, who has one of the best defenses in the league, and they put that, remember that on-ball pressure they put on the Warriors when they blew that 31-point lead? Well, now Pods is outside of slow-mo. Who else is going to handle the rock tonight? So you need to love up our Rob's Pods and hope he plays well tonight, because he's going to be your primary ball handler against this team.
I mean, who's going to handle Pat Spencer's going to get some run. I mean, you have to assume.
Yeah, I mean, all hands on deck.
I'm not saying that
all
that's
hands
the
on
solution.
Deck.
I'm just
all,
saying.
No, it's all hands on deck.
Here's the question, though. What does Pods need to do better? Like, I know you're talking about the referees and that. I think, to me, it's very simple. God, it would be nice for him to just knock down a couple of deep ones.
There's no doubt.
You know, and then the other thing I would tell him is, when you get that deep into the paint, trust that little baby hook, that little floater, that little runner that you do. I know it's not the most effective, but a couple of those go in, and now that defense has really got to honor you when you drive to the hoop, and they have to collapse in on you. And I think that'll open up some of his passing lanes. There are times where that ball can feel so heavy psychologically, and you're wide open, and you take that extra dribble, that extra thought, and you just kind of doubt yourself. And boy, if he could just hit a bucket from the outside, hit a couple of runners. It's funny how things are contagious. You know, look at Buddy Hield. 2 weeks ago, Buddy Hield couldn't miss. Everything he's throwing up was going in. Now the guy can't hit a thing.
That backcourt, I was ready to come in. Like, oh man, you see the Warriors backcourt. Podge and Curry outscore Murray and Brown. 37-23. 15 assists from Paz and Curry. Oh, man, they were rolling, and didn't work out like that. But
well, both those guys made great defensive plays at the end of that game. Jamal Murray had a beautiful strip on Kuminga's near dunk, and Braun got that loose ball and dove on it and called timeout.
He did. Well, yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Anthony Slater's going to join us at 8:30. What is it that the Warriors need? Leroy at Oakland, he was going to call in. I guess he had to go to work, but he said basically the Warriors, he would like to see them have an established big man. Now, Loon's playing well. Loon's playing some good basketball, but a guy I'm looking at in Portland, Robert Williams, Time Lord. He's been playing for the Blazers. Now, he's had some injury history. How much are you going to give up for him? Do you want to give up a lot for him? Probably not, right? But he did make his return this season. And he's the type of big man I look at. I was like, damn, Warriors could use somebody like that. You know, a guy who could play 15 minutes a night, could run the floor, can block some shots. And we saw him in those NBA finals with the Boston Celtics. And boy, if he was healthy, we may have had a different series. Because that guy was that good. But he's only played in, let me see, this year he's only played in 7 games. He's averaging 10-6 in those 7 games in 18 minutes a game. So I don't know if that's the big man Leroy in Oakland was talking about. Not sure about that.
Yeah, I would love to see them get another ball handler. I know a big is something that I feel like the Warriors have been asking forever. You know, there are other names out there that have been rumored to be traded. Jeremy Grant's a name that I've seen on various NBA trade rumors. I don't know how much that really helps them.
Contract, yeah.
These are just names. I'm just throwing out names. Like, Bruce Brown was a name that I know the Nuggets were inquiring about bringing back, right? Like, I don't really know how much that helps them. There's not a lot out there, right? If you're not talking about one of the more headliner type moves, you know, Brandon Ingram is another name that I've seen on various websites. It continues to get, you know, kind of thrown at the Warriors. Well, I don't know where that fits.
Well, the Pelicans, I'm interested to see what they will do. Will they blow it up?
Well, okay, let me throw a name at you that I don't
know. Zion Williamson.
What?
Zion Williamson.
No. I mean, like, a McCollum as like a ball handler guy.
Season
like,
McCollum? Nah, I'm out on that.
I've seen that.
Now I say no to that. I'd be much more intrigued with Dennis Schroeder. CJ McCollum, absolutely not.
He's very old right now. I'd rather
go back to a name I brought up last year, and the 650 has brought it up and kind of sparked my mind. Kind of sparked my memory, I should say. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying right now. 650, Kobe White from the Bulls.
I would love that.
And I wanted Kobe White last year. I wanted Kobe White. He's quick as hell. Oh, my gosh. First step, really good. Can hit the three. Him and Vucevic in a package deal, who knows? Because Vucevic is the type of center that can stretch the floor and space the floor and go out there and open up the lane for everybody. Schroeder's a name that we just saw in Brooklyn. I mean, so there's going to be a lot of names, but I agree with you. Playmaker and big are my top two things right now that they're missing. And D'Anthony Melton, this is where the D'Anthony Melton injury. Somebody said, what about Lonnie Walker? He's playing in Lithuania right now. You want Lonnie Walker? Lonnie Walker? What about West Oakland Sam? West Oakland Sam, what do you want? What do you want?
Hey, my brothers. Hey, yo, so I drive for DHL, and my route is in Sunnyvale. So Sam just told me December 20th you guys are having the awards at the Laughing Monkey. It's literally on my route.
Let's go.
But I start work at 10 a.m. So Are you guys going to be lingering around after this?
Absolutely.
Like, of course.
Pull over for lunch?
Of course.
I'm going to pull over for lunch and get some chicken wings with you guys.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
Here's my thing. I hate Pat Spencer's number. I hate that. I hate seeing him on the floor. How about this name? Because me and my homie was talking about it the other day. How do y'all feel about a R.J. Barrett? I don't know what his contract is, but I...
Is he redundant really to like Buddy Hield? Can I ask you before you continue? Is he
no,
redundant?
He's...
Yeah.
I mean, no.
He's not redundant to Buddy Hield.
I'm asking.
He's more of like a... He's like an Iguodala to me, in a sense. Just think about it. He's like an Iggy. He's a very smart player, and he can control the rock. I know we need a big man. That's always been our issue since Bogey. We haven't had nothing. Shout out to Festus. I know he's with you, Bonte, all the time. Mm-hmm. But I know we need a big man, a defensive force, who could also... but... R.J. Barrett, just think about it. Just think about it.
Well, I don't think. I like R.J. Barrett, the player. He's a different player than, obviously, Kuminga and Brandon Ingram. The thing about R.J. Barrett that he does very well is get to the free throw line. He's got that big body, those broad shoulders. He's physical. And we saw him light up the Warriors last season. My thing is, Masai Ujiri and the Toronto Raptors are not getting rid of R.J. Barrett after they traded a haul for R.J. Barrett. I don't think they're doing that at all. Up there, Toronto. They're going with the full youth movement. He's from Canada. He's from Toronto, for crying out loud. So I don't see how any deal gets worked out for R.J. Barrett. But the name, you can laugh. The name, the dude's giving you 24-6-5 right now.
No, 24-6-6. I like
it. And he gets to the free throw line, no doubt. But if you trade for him, you're just shipping out other guys who play his position.
Yes.
I don't know how much better you're getting.
Well, and the other name that keeps getting attached to the Warriors, and he's in the second year of a $90 million deal, a four-year deal, is Kyle Kuzma. And I know you're out on that.
Yeah, I'd rather have Cam Johnson.
I mean, the Warriors keep getting linked to him.
But Carter's shaking his
head. I don't want him either, but I'm just saying the Warriors keep getting linked to him.
Yeah, well, that's a rumor. Where's the rumor from?
Various writers, and they're saying Indiana, the Kings, the Dallas Mavericks, because the Mavericks almost traded for him.
Do you think, after watching Kyle Kuzma, that he's a player that Steve Kerr
will like? I don't know. I don't, but I'm just saying, like, the Warriors have been linked. At one point, they traded for D'Angelo Russell, and I didn't think he would fit.
Yeah, no, you didn't. They flipped him. That was just an asset. That was an asset move. To get something for Kevin Durant. That was like, all right, forget it. Let's go get D-Lo.
We're 2 months away from this deadline, and it feels like if the Warriors are going to make a move, I think they're going to be one of the first teams to make
a
move.
Well, they have to. You got to strike quick.
Exactly.
Let's go to KC and Murray. KC, what's happening?
Exactly.
Gentlemen, good morning, man. It's been a while. I'm enjoying the show as usual. I'm going to have a little bit of a different take. I've brought it before, but the romanticism of Bay Area sports fans, Bay Area media, it wants the players to stay forever, to retire in the uniform, and it brings the team down. It happened to the Giants, and it's happening to the Warriors. We're thinking Wiggins is going to come back from his previous form. He hasn't. We're thinking Kuminga is going to step up and start being a big-time player. He isn't. We're thinking Pods is going to become a player he's never been. He's had, a half-a-year success at Santa Clara? And a decent first year, but he's not the player these fans are thinking he is. And we have a soon-to-be very old Steph who is on the last legs of his career. And it's time to hit the reset. And it's time to recoup the value of the players we have and start to rebuild this team into a possible championship team of the future. And if not, they're going to be a team in the lottery with no lottery picks because of past deals. It's time to hit the reset. It's time
there it is.
To get assets. Hey,
is it time to hit the reset? Is anybody subscribing to what KC and Moran has to say? 888-957-9570 is the number. Anybody subscribing to that?
Am I the naive one for believing that like they got one little maybe miracle run with Steph? Just one? Am I grasping at straws?
No. 888-957-9570 is the number. Time now for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I respect all writers. I used to be a writer. But I'm with the 510. Kyle Kuzma's the ultimate ISO player. How the hell is he going to fit in with Steve Kerr? I don't know. Who the hell? Maybe people were just bored. Now, our boy Raider Debater. Bring Jordan Poole back.
I want that.
It's a stink about what you're saying.
Well, I know what I'm saying. I would take him back.
I know. I know you would take him back.
I don't think he would take us back. It says right here, Bucks, Warriors, Lakers, Heat, and Cavs among the teams monitoring Kyle Kuzma.
They don't watch Warriors basketball, do they?
No, I know. I'm just telling you.
I hear you.
Various people, Josh Robbins and people that are covering it.
I don't even know who Josh Robbins is.
I don't either. I'm just reading names.
Warriors, yeah.
I'm just reading the names. You're asking where. I'm telling you where. Gosh.
Warriors will host the Rockets tonight without Steph and Dre. Steph is out once again doing ongoing battle with bilateral knee tendonitis, and Warriors seek to limit the amount of wear and tear on his knees. And Draymond Green will also be out due to his calf injury. Andrew Wiggins, questionable night due to an ankle impingement. Injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerser, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping get your workers get their lives back for over 40 years. 888-957-9570. I'm seeing John Wall. John Wall name gets surfaced around here. This is why we're getting crazy.
Fonte?
We're getting crazy.
I have a question to you. Like,
okay.
What, like, the Niners feel like they're kind of at a crossroads. It's for this season. I think they'll bounce back. The Warriors feel like they're at a crossroads. It's still a long year. They're not done. And the Giants are clearly at the bottom. You know, they got to work themselves up. Like, who are you betting on? Like, Warrior fans. Well, like, I was betting on the Warriors to have a really good year this year. I was betting on the Niners to have a really good year this year. And I feel really foolish.
Calm down. We're only 20 games in. You're panicking already?
Jeez. Hell yeah. My panic meter is through the roof.
What happened to Buddy Buckets and Buddy Love?
Green just said that he's worried.
So I'm actually intrigued with KC Marin. I want to know how many people feel like KC Marin. KC Marin said, it's time to blow it up.
Wrong, throwing in the white flag?
You just said you are. You got red in a heartbeat.
I'm concerned.
How many people feel like KC and Marin? Do you want to blow this thing up? Is it time? 888-957-9570 is the number. I don't think it's time, but I'm just one person. There's a lot of other people who love the Warriors as well. That's coming up on a roast.